Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 100, recorded on Tuesday, 29th May 2012. At last, guests with headsets. Well, would you believe it, we've reached 100 shows, 6,940 minutes of audio, 144 guests, 7 live shows, and a gazillion mentions of the word kudos. How could we celebrate with a very special show just for you? So sit back and relax as you listen to a unique Twill panel assembled just for this occasion. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com.
Welcome, everybody. It is This Week in Lotus, episode 100. No, it is not April Fool's. We've turned the tables today. We've brought in some new guests for the show, ones that we've never had on as guests before, and everyone's, I know, listening anxiously to figure out what the heck is going on. So some of you know me, I'm Chris Miller. I do notes everywhere across the web for everybody else. But first, I want to bring up Stuart McIntyre.
Well, hello, Chris.
Good morning, and welcome to This Week in Lotus as a guest.
Wow, thanks, Chris. I'm not sure I like it on this side of the table.
Just wait. It'll get worse. So give everybody the little background about who you are, do the normal round, and let them know.
Hey, cool. Well, I'm Stuart McIntyre. I co-host This Week in Lotus. I blog on various different sites, too many to mention here. And I run a company called Collaboration Matters. We're a business partner doing connection stuff.
Never heard of it. So the connections, it's all new. It's all brand new. So the other one, I think you dragged somebody alone that was apparently, who was wearing pants. Darren?
My name is Darren Duke. I am also one of the alleged co-hosts of This Week in Lotus. I work for a company called Simplified Technology Solutions based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And if there is a Lotus or an ICS in front of it, we probably do it.
Excellent. So as everybody that gets the idea, it's been 100 episodes. They've been going at it for a ridiculous amount of time doing these weekly ventures. And we want to get some background information on Twill and where it's been, where it's going, where it's going to be going as well. So we have a whole list of things, and we probably won't stick to any of them. I can see this. It's going to go downhill fast. Right. That's what it's supposed to do, right? So, I know it's episode 100, but what was the official launch date?
The official launch date actually was just over 2 years ago. It was the 28th of May, 2010.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're not that far off then.
No. Almost exactly 2 years.
Wow, that's not bad at all. That's not for 100. Yeah, so you only missed a few episodes. So, I mean, you can tell everybody that would be 104. So where did you guys miss out?
So we were doing really well, having only missed kind of Christmas holiday or holiday season shows. And then it kind of all went a bit Pete Tong this last month, didn't it, Darren?
It did, work things. And I had a death in the family, so I had to go back to England. So since then, it's kind of been touch and go when we could actually fit them in. And then, as you've seen this morning, my timekeeping is lackadaisical at best.
And I think, Chris, you know this, but recording a podcast is actually pretty straightforward. It takes about an hour in our case, and that's easy. It's actually all the work that goes into it beforehand, sorting out guests, lining up calendars, all that kind of stuff. It's not as easy as it may seem sometimes.
Well, no, and you try to do a pretty much a static time to record, which makes it a little easier, right?
We do try to. It's because there's 5 hours between us. We try and record on a Thursday morning. So it's kind of before Darren starts work and lunchtime here in the UK, which kind of works okay. But we do have to ask quite a few guests to get up pretty early or stay up pretty late if they're in, West Coast of America, or us obviously down in Australia and New Zealand. We've had some guests on.
I don't care what. It's still early. Wherever we are,
it's early.
Oh man, I saw that alarm went off this morning. I'm like, they better be there. That's all I know. So, you were fine. No, you were fine. We were, we were hanging out. Everyone should know it's only been a few minutes, so it's no big deal. Darren's recuperating from the U.S. Memorial Day weekend. So,
I am.
I'm gonna ask Darren. So, what's your recollection of when you two decided to actually start the show? How do you remember this conversation going?
Wow, so long ago, I'm not sure I can. I think Stuart had contacted Lisa, mainly because I am notoriously bad at reading email. I, as Lisa says, I fix email. I don't read it. And I vaguely remember a conversation with Lisa where she said, Stuart is thinking about doing a podcast and wants to see if you want to take part. And then Lisa said, I think I should take part, meaning Lisa wanted to take part. And that's actually, I think, where the Get Social Do Business podcast came out of, because she wanted to really interview people. And I think Stuart and I had the concept of talking, mostly extolling the virtues of the IBM stack of collaboration tools, but also maybe, you know, putting a bit of truth serum in there, for want of a better word. And I'm not sure IBM would call it truth serum, but that's hopefully what we did. And that's kind of how it sprung. And then one morning we got on Skype, and I vaguely remember episode one. I think Handley was on it. Maybe some other people. I can't remember who. And I remember being very, very, very nervous the first episode beforehand. I was up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep.
And what about now? After 100?
Now I sleep past the alarm and I don't get on the podcast until 30.
Now, did he tell the truth, Stuart? Did he tell the story right, or is this a little different?
Yeah, that's almost exactly it. Well, I'll tell you, the first guests we had, Mike Smith, Tim Clark, and Hanley Cameron, were our first guests on the show. And that's pretty much it. We talked with Lisa and talked with Dan and just tried to work out. I mean, my point of view was that I'd heard about the Ferrari from the Leo Laporte show, when they were talking about Notes as being basically a legacy product, and kind of ridiculing Howard Stern for using Notes. Though, if you remember all that kind of discussion that went on, and I just felt like there was a real place for a news show around Lotus. You know, Chris, you do a fantastic job with ID Notes, and you know, Julian and Bruce do a wonderful job with taking notes, but that they're really sort of very focused shows on a particular topic, which is fantastic, you know, when you're interested in that topic. What I thought would be really good was to just have kind of a general discussion about whatever was going on that week, so that we could actually refute maybe some of the kind of bad things that were being discussed around Lotus at the time.
Or create our own bad things.
Yeah. Well, maybe so.
Oh, they're in infamy now. Everybody's got them downloaded. We know. Any bad movements happen, anything I've ever done wrong in the studio it's live. So at this point, it's over with. Now, a lot of people are going to ask, you know, what's involved. Well, you talked about the time. It's not just the hour to record. I mean, people got to understand there's a lot more behind after that. So your post time and editing and everything. Darren hangs up the phone and he goes and has a drink. So I know that's what happens. Now, I can account three times that I know in history that Darren, actually, you did the recording, right? You actually had to do the editing and everything.
Yeah, it was when Stuart goes on vacations, if I have the wherewithal, we'll do an episode. And I will give Stuart, you know, complete and absolute kudos here. He does everything. You know, there's a reason that he is the lead. There's a reason that he puts us all together. And the show really is Stuart beyond anything else.
Because you don't want to do the edits, is that what you're saying?
No, I think I could, and I actually think I could con some people into doing it as well, if I really needed to. It's called delegation, by the way, not conning. I got that word wrong. And it's difficult. I don't think you realize how hard it is until you do it. And Stuart always just say, "Well, it's easy if you get a Mac," and I've got a Mac, and it's no easier. He's making that up.
Yeah, pretty much. So now, what do you guys use? I know you had that. We should tell me. I had on the list to mention what technology besides, of course, Skype. I mean, we know that's involved.
Yeah, so Skype's involved for better, for worse, and there are some weeks where it's definitely worse, Skype being involved. Right. So we capture the Skype conversation. On the Mac, I use Audio Hijack Pro. Don't know what you use for your stuff, Chris. Darren, okay. I think, has used, there's a free Skype recorder in there for Windows that you've used on your side, and you do use actually every week as a backup. When we've captured it, we then chuck it through something called Load Leveler, which levels off the different volumes for different people. So particularly if you have a quiet person or a very loud person, it struggles sometimes to get those leveled. That tool does a fantastic job. It's free again. But the issue there is if it brings somebody up in terms of their volume, it also adds typically a lot of noise. And so in that case, I would use Audacity, which again is another free tool available for Windows and Mac, which then you can use to strip out a load of noise. We then chuck it into GarageBand, which is, you know, free on the Mac as part of every Mac OS, and you can obviously buy upgrades and stuff as well. And that's a really good audio editor for pulling together, you know, music and vocals and, you know, all the other stuff that goes into the podcast. And then we then export that into iTunes to add all the MP3 tags, that kind of thing. And then Audacity then converts it into OGG, open source audio. And then we upload it to the website. That's what's involved, which sounds pretty straightforward, but takes a while.
And we have the show notes before all of that.
Right.
Which we use Google Apps for, Google Docs.
And then everybody has, now do you guys always use headsets or do you guys use the actual mics? That's, I know, one thing people ask anytime they get on the show, anytime I interview anyone is, oh, heck, what, you know, what do I have and what do I use?
We've, this is a long-standing joke. There's a big red section at the beginning of a Google Doc that I'm pretty sure no one has ever read that says, please, 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 please use a microphone, a headset and a mic.
But mine says just wear pants. I don't see it.
Maybe this is a special 100th episode one. It doesn't usually say that.
Oh, okay. I'm scrolling.
And so if people use a headphone and a boom mic, the quality is orders of magnitude better than using the built-in mics on laptops and stuff like that. Have we ever had anyone use Skype across a mobile phone, Stuart? Do you know?
We have, yeah. James Governor, if you remember when he was on, he was using it on his Android handset, which actually didn't sound too bad.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. I thought there was someone else, but I can't remember who. I'd have to go back and look. And so if we can get them on a decent quality connection, and then have a boom microphone, it makes, again, Stuart's job a whole lot easier. But I also think it's a lot easier to listen to, actually.
Well, yeah. And then I know some people, for those that are listening, if you can get a USB headset mic, that's probably the best. They're cheap. Like, you know, you can go get one really cheap at Best Buy in the US and any of the electronic stores anywhere.
You're absolutely right. And for $10, it makes the biggest difference. And actually, I'm kind of astounded as to how people don't carry them around anyway. You know, if you're in this industry, I can't believe you're not using some kind of voice over IP program that requires you to use a headset.
True. And, you know, don't say 10. People, everybody think like at least $30 headsets.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking 10, really?
Really, stay away from the 10s. He's going, I don't know.
you'll pull the headphones down and they'll fall to bits.
Right. These are the Cracker Jack box of headsets there. Now go for 30, maybe 40, but yeah, get the good ones. So how long does it actually then take you to do an episode to actually edit?
I'm sure if you were better at it than I am, it would probably be shorter, but it's probably in the region of about 4 hours all in, just because I always like to listen all the way through the show, just to make sure that somebody doesn't say something that they shouldn't have said. And typically it's IBM is actually worried about, not because they say anything bad, but just because they're the ones that actually, you know, could lose their job if they said something they shouldn't say. So I always try and listen all the way through, or obviously cut out any kind of unnatural pauses or noises or anything like that. And then you have to export it and then upload it to the website, then do the show notes afterwards. So it's somewhere around 3 to 4 hours, I guess, a week.
Yeah, see, that's one thing we do a little bit differently. Everyone should be warned. When they get on my show, I warn them, this is it. We do a take. You probably saw that with Rajat, the bunch ball. I told Rajat, we do one take. You say something wrong, it's going, buddy. I don't, you know, I'm not playing around. We're not re-editing nothing at this point. He's like, oh boy. I'm like, right, we're going straight through. Cause it's, you got to think, it is like, in a way, you know, like Twit This Week in Tech, where Leo has a live stream that's recorded too.
Yeah, very true.
All that stuff stays on the live stream for him. So what would be some of your memorable guests? Then you were talking about, you know, all the IBMers you have to be careful of. You guys have had quite a few, at least three per episode. So you're talking, you know, and some are repeats, of course, but that's like 300 guests.
Yeah, if I'd have took my laptop with me and I made it to this weekend, I was actually going to do some metrics, because I think when we hit a year, 52 or 50, I actually went back and I looked and I said how many guests per episode on average, you know, how many people appeared twice and all of that. But there's been so many great guests. It's kind of hard to pick out a favorite. I would say, you know, just off the top of my head, and I forgive anyone who I missed, I think Jason DeMont did an astounding job when he was on just a couple of weeks ago. I think Chris Paul from IBM did an astounding job probably about maybe a year ago now, I would guess. And then the one that always sticks to mind is like Stuart said, is James Governor about his rave about the AS400, which is still fantastic.
And we should clarify that really Darren didn't forget his laptop. He was gone for the US holiday weekend and didn't care. We should just clarify. You can say whatever you want to say. He didn't care. He was at somewhere with no internet, no phone. He just didn't care. Yeah, I mean, think about, like you said, you've had that many hundreds of people. It's, you've had some repeats. You've had some others that, honestly, you know, they've been very quiet. They talk two or three times, which happens mainly in a round table. And then you have others that are loud, like Matt, like Mr. Newman, of course, that is, you know, you're containing a wild jackal at that point who's ready to go. Stuart, is there anybody in your mind that then sticks out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've had some quite senior IBMers who I think deserve kind of credit for coming on the show, particularly when they really don't know what they're going to be asked or kind of what spot they're going to be put on. Yeah, so Ed Brill and Sandy Carter and a number of others in that kind of category. Mary Beth Raven's been on a number of times. I think Joyce Davis is our most kind of populous guest. She's been on probably more times than anybody else. I think also, I particularly thank the guys that have stepped in to be co-hosts on occasion. People like Matt Newman and Lisa Duke, obviously, has stepped into to help host the show, and I think that's quite a responsible role, and I really appreciate them being involved in that. And obviously you today, Chris.
No, that's mine's far and few between. Everybody knows I'm always in the studio somewhere at some point doing it. And you brought up another point when you were just talking about it, is it's hard to get a variance of people. A lot of people are nervous about being on and being recorded. I know, and I'll call her out. I know even Gab, because even when I talk to Gab, yeah. And Gab, tell you know, she is as amazing as she presents. You get the mic in front of her and she's like, oh, it's a whole different ball game all of a sudden right there. A big difference overall.
And I think, looking further ahead, I would love to get an even greater kind of set of people on. I mean, as you say, we've probably had 300 guests. I'd love to count it up one day. But it would be fantastic to get more folks maybe outside the US and the UK involved, plenty of non-English speakers and perhaps more customers as well. Probably if we did the stats for IBM and partners, probably the most common, it'd be good to get more customer views on the show as well as time goes on.
Well, and that's a good thing. There's two questions from that then. One, did you find that some guests like to see a list of actual questions before while others can wing it? And two is, how hard is it to get customers that can talk freely about what they're doing with Lotus technology?
I think the second part of that is the hardest. I think customers are very reticent to talk about what they're doing and why they're doing it. And I think it's unfortunate. I understand from a kind of corporate responsibility type of thing, no forward-looking statements, stuff like that. So it's difficult, I think, for customers to come on and talk who don't actually know us. Stuart, what do you think? Because you seem to be able to get more customers on than anybody else.
Mostly because they're my customers. Yeah, the customers we work with on a day in, day out basis, so it tends to be easier to do that with. Obviously, it's harder to approach folks, as you say, that don't know us and that can talk freely. I would just love to do more of it. And so if there's any customers listening to this who would fancy taking part, please do. I think the other part of your question, Chris, about wanting to see a full list of questions, I think that's particularly true of the vendors that we've had on. I think if they see it as a chance to market their product or to talk about their product, they like to see the types of questions they're going to be asked, particularly if they're in marketing or comms or sales, where they don't necessarily know the products as well as perhaps the folks on the technical side do. Then they like to have that kind of confidence that they're going to be able to talk about the questions that are being asked.
Well, that's actually you brought up a good point about it, is a lot of the customers that you're looking for to be on the show need to understand you don't have to talk about your own environment. It's more about Lotus as a whole, your experience with it, what you've been doing with it, your thoughts on the project directions. Yeah. So a lot of customers are hesitant because they think it's going to be about their environment. I know that's a big concern. So maybe that'll help, is letting them know that you don't have to do that part.
And you don't have to tell us who you work for. We don't actually particularly care, to be quite honest. We could say this guy's a customer of Lotus and not mention their parent company or anything like that. So you can actually anonymize it quite a bit. It only stands out, I can remember two or three occurrences where someone has said, I absolutely have to see the questions beforehand.
Right.
And there was one occasion where someone actually sent us the questions. That didn't go down too well.
that show never made it out.
Yeah, I had from an IBMer once, some VP up the chain that demanded a list of questions, and I had one question on there. I said there'd be one question then. And it was a very short interview. So I don't do the shows like that. A lot of it is as we go, you know, and that you guys do that as well. I've heard it. You actually have to follow a path sometimes down the list. So what would you guys do different now that you've done 100 episodes that, you know, you haven't done yet? Or what would you change that you've already done?
I think committing to a weekly schedule when we'd never done anything like that in the past was a big commitment to take. And I'm not sure either of us would necessarily do that again if we were starting today. Would we, Darren?
The phrase fool's errand seems to ring in my head. Yeah, I think that's probably the big one. I'm trying to think what else we would have changed. I'm not sure anything else, honestly, we would have changed except maybe not doing it weekly. I have a horrendous time with weekly tips, which is the only reason I don't like doing a weekly one. There's only so many times I can look around my office and find something new. But true. Beyond that, I actually think it's worked out reasonably well. You know, Stuart, I think, had a bit of experience the previous year before we started this with the successful Lotusphere podcasts. So I don't think he was going in completely eyes wide shut. I think he had a pretty good idea of what it was going to take. But again, I would strongly recommend to people, you know, if you're going to do a podcast, I maybe wouldn't do it weekly. I would pick a bit more time between your episodes.
I think the other thing I'd change for starting today, which we couldn't have foreseen at the time, is the name of the the podcast. In that, you know, clearly This Week in Lotus isn't necessarily what we call it if we were starting today. But obviously, it was difficult to foresee that at the time. And almost any other name we come up with, it's pretty hard to kind of nail down to being something that's relevant and also recognizable about the types of things we're discussing. So maybe we change the name for starting today.
And our podcast will be named similar to an IBM product.
Yes.
10 words long.
The IBM Smartcast for collaboration, social, really business in the essential cloud, something, right?
And Chris, maybe this is a question for you, but I mean, it's something I've talked to Darren about is doing video and live streaming of some of the shows and that kind of stuff. And I think all that would be really interesting, whether we could do it given our kind of limited budget and time and effort involved, and also, you know, with the freedom for guests to take part as they do and talk freely as they do, I'm not sure that doing it live or else doing it over video is necessarily something we could do with This Week in Lotus.
Well, yeah, plus there's quite a few people on your panel, which adds another layer to your issue.
You know, do you find it harder to do video than you do to do audio?
There's one part that is harder, and that's, so everyone heard me hesitate to think, the only part to me that's harder, I'm still editing the same amount of time. Right. So the editing to me is pretty much the same in terms of time. The difference is that you're dealing with file size, limitations and quality, whereas an MP3 is an MP3 across any system, or OGG or whichever format you use. So for those that aren't familiar with all that, we're talking, you know, back into geek talk. But, you know, what you put on your iPhone or iPod is a standard across pretty much any of the portable players. That's easy. Once you get into video, you're dealing with size. Not only the file size, but also the picture size. And then if I condense it too much, do I lose quality? I've been doing video straight now on iDoNotes, except for one episode, which was an IBMer that just wouldn't do it, since episode 98 or so, 95, somewhere in there. And it hasn't added any extra edit time to me. But then once again, I don't do retakes. You know, you're on. You know, we're not. The only time there's editing is when I have a product overlay. Like we're doing live demos like we did with Bunch Ball, things like that. You know, then there's a few extra minutes to do some sort of overlays. So you guys getting everyone on video would be a hard thing. I think that's your biggest issue, is getting everybody on video.
And time differences, I think, maybe affect how you would look on video.
Well, look what we did. There's a perfect example. When didn't we do the Nerd Girls down in Auslug? And so Susan Bullock, for her, it was like, I don't know what ridiculous time in the morning was for Susan. So she put Blogford, you know, put the monkey in front of the camera and talked the whole interview. And that's all we saw was Blogford. He just sat there in front of the camera the whole time. We heard Susan's voice, but we never saw her. So there is that part of the problem with the cameras. I mean, you got to go look at the video. It's there. It's hilarious just to see him sit there. So,
and I'll take a step back a bit, because I also want to say that, you know, maybe except for one or two specific occasions, I don't ever recall editing anything out that anybody requested. And the only one or two requests we got, I think, were justified.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened, like you said, if it's someone says something about a product or whatever it is. But I think it's more just the time to put it together, right? Because you've got your intro, you've got your, you know, if you're doing multiple people, look what we do with BlackBerry Today is Kathy and I do it, and I actually go between two cameras if you watch.
Yeah.
That's a lot of extra editing. Whereas in other shows, I may just do a half and half or something like that, but I actually go between two cameras. So there is some, you guys would have some extra work if you decide to do it. You would, and then, yeah, like I said, the file size. So that's your other big, you got it. You would have to condense down. An hour in video is a really large file, even for portable devices.
Well, and I also think we've got some bandwidth limitations as well. We have problems today with certain guests at certain locations. We have audio problems. So, you know, God knows what would happen if we put video in the middle. Especially, we have a lot of lag with Australia, a noticeable amount of lag that has to be edited out. And I think it's stuff like that that may make it a bit difficult. Plus, I'm not actually sure if people want to see me. So,
well, yeah, because once again, no pants. We don't want any camera slippage is what we don't want going on in there. You got to look halfway decent. You got to, it is tough. So
we need a big zoom. That's all I'll say.
Right. So everyone I know is, you know, want to know, we'll get to the news in just a minute. Cause we're doing good. We're not even a half an hour, are we? Yeah. So significantly in your world, before we jump into Lotus, into the tech stuff that we've got on the sheet, I know, what do you see significantly that's changed that maybe, like Stuart just said, will help you or want you to change the name of the podcast? Or no, I shouldn't say you're going to change it, but the idea is that you wouldn't have named it that 2 years ago. What's changed in Lotus that would make you say that?
Well, obviously, we're kind of losing the Lotus name, although it's not gone completely. And you'll have seen some tweets from me in the last 48 hours or so thinking about this. But that's been the massive thing, is that so many of the products we're talking about on the podcast are no longer Lotus products. They're IBM products.
Well, what's the three? Let's just talk. I know I'm interrupting you, but the three things that they say are staying Lotus, they're saying right now is,
well,
what?
Well, for the moment, there's no plan to change Notes, Domino, or Quicker.
Correct. Those are the ones that everyone should know. They've said it publicly. There's no plans to change those for now.
Yeah.
We always hear that. They go, there's no plans for now. For now. Did you say for now? They always throw those two words at the end.
Once you see it on someone's business card, that's it. It's done.
You're right. It has with a Sharpie and some whiteout. But and the names get longer. So, but everyone should follow the path that, you know, same time as now the IBM, the connections went IBM, but Traveler's not. Traveler's to Lotus Forms, and a couple products went away. That's a huge impact, mainly when you have a show called This Week in Lotus.
Indeed.
Yeah. I think it's more difficult for new, if we ever get new listeners. I don't know what we've never done any testing to see what the uptake is. But sure. I think for people that started with us 2 years ago, they know what the products are. But I think it's hard for people coming in where maybe don't understand that IBM Connections used to be called IBM Lotus Connections, and so would search on the word connections and maybe not find the podcast. And I think that's a bit of a unfortunate for the listener, because I think we do a pretty good job of extolling the virtues of a platform, but also telling you where to avoid the pitfalls.
Right. And that's one of the biggest things is you'll see that even on the IBM sites, it's harder to find things labeled Lotus whatever, because they do a good job in the world of the web of removing that. So it's really becoming IBM Connections. You're not going to be able to search very much for Lotus Connections, except for like older tech notes and stuff.
And that was one of the things I raised when, you know, just after that Lotusphere, where they kind of almost took the Lotus name away from us. I was never anti changing the name. My concern was, if we change the name, how do we identify what is the portfolio that we're talking about? You know, it's IBM Collaboration Solutions, but that's an internal name. Nobody's supposed to talk about it externally, although it's on business cards and various other places. So how do we identify this kind of set of collaboration tools that we use? And Lotus was a really good way of doing that. And now we don't have Lotus. You know, half of it's IBM, half it's Lotus. What do we identify as being this portfolio that we're interested in? And that's quite a tricky thing. And I don't think there's necessarily an answer to it yet, particularly if Notes stays as Lotus Notes going forward.
And it's always kind of concerned me, but I go to Fixential and I go straight to the word Lotus.
Yeah.
What happens if someone has bought IBM Connections and doesn't understand where to go to even download the fixes?
Well, that's actually a good one. And, you know, I posted about it, I don't know when it was I posted that, but I said, you know, it's time to, you know, take off the Band-Aid type thing too. And absolutely, on the products that we know are going to change, do it, get it over with, and just, you know, totally rename it. And the customers that are in deep, I don't know any of them that really care what it's called at this point. You know, is it going to, what's the upgrade path? What's it going to do? What's the future going to hold? That's what they want to know. You know, there's plenty of products that change their name along the way or try to that we've seen. A few have made it, a few haven't. So is the community changing then? I know that's something we had on here is do you see the community changing? We're adding more people from outside, or do you see that more people are kind of going from the Lotus into other product areas?
It's the latter. At least from where the circles I swim. But there are a lot of people, and myself as well. I don't do a lot of blogging about it anymore. I do a bit of 140 character rants about the product lines every now and again. But even IBM has kind of lost its fixation with me of being my personal pinata. So I think a lot of people are starting to look around and say, you know, okay, if IBM are moving on, maybe it's time for me to move on too. And I think
some people Some people are forced to move. We should clarify that. There's people that jobs say we're going to this product or this technology, and hey, you want to keep working here, you're going to learn something new.
Yes, and we've actually had a couple of customers do that in the last year or so have moved away from the likes of XPages and using that for relational over to .NET because it's a quote-unquote more mature platform with more developers and more books, and they're not wrong on any of M3 criteria. But I think it's a natural progression, and I think you can see it off. I think it was a question that maybe Steven Pitcher asked on LinkedIn about when did you start with notes and how long you've been doing it. Yeah. And if you look at the thread, I don't see anyone. I think there was maybe one or two that started in the last 5 years.
I don't see it as being quite as negative as all that. And I know you're not wholly negative about it either, Darren. But, you know, if you look at that microcosm of notes and domino, I think you're right. You know, that there's kind of a fade there, and it may change, but, you know, at the moment it feels like it's kind of fading gradually. Whereas if you look at the new products, you know, particularly Connections, that's on a really good growth curve. And, you know, again, I blogged about this today in terms of the community stuff that's going on around Connections is growing month on month. There's more stuff going on in there. There's more people coming in. You know, there's some pretty active, you know, LinkedIn groups and greenhouse groups and stuff around it. So I think if you look at the balance, it's going to be interesting to see how it has changed over the 2 years. I think probably, as you say, Dan, a fair few people have left the Notes and Domino community, but I also think maybe we kind of gained perhaps a few in XPages, but also particularly around Connections, I think we probably gained a few people that actually have become pretty active in the last couple of years in the community.
And I think you're right on both counts, especially XPages. I was surprised. I'm still surprised how many posts there are on Planet Lotus week in, week out on XPages. So there's definitely some movement there. And I agree, Stuart, on the Connections piece. But what I think you probably see, what we're probably seeing is people who, at least in our arena, and by that I mean are independent consultants, and we don't necessarily work for a company, I think we're slowly migrating over to Connections, and maybe even same time now that it's starting to pick up again. But I think the rank and file, like Chris said, have been told, okay, we're moving from X to Y, go. I think they're slowly dropping off, and it would be hard to replace them, because I think the problem that Connections has right now is it's only sold as big deals, and the big deal customers have trouble being open, and Mitch Cohen is probably the outsider here, where he works for a big company and he pretty much can say what he wants, but most people I don't think would be able to do that.
I don't think they know what he says.
I think the other thing that's changed over the last couple of years is lugs. You know, I think we went back a couple of years. Yes, there were a few lugs, you know, UK lug and iLug that kind of got going, but I think those very big multiple day you know, lugs like iAmLug in your instance, Chris, have been a massive you know, big thing in our community over the last couple of years, such to the point where IBM has almost said, you know, not we'll give up with doing our events, but we'll make our events very different because actually lugs are the best place to look after those existing customers that are very loyal to the products. You know, lugs is where you should go. That's where you'll meet the experts. It's where you'll hear the education stuff. And I think that's been phenomenal, the amount of effort that people have been putting into running these user groups and building up the community around them.
Sorry. What are we talking about? Lugs already? No, I just delayed mine. We're not talking about lugs right now. We moved on.
I do think it's been a big mover in the arena where you can now go to, you know, somewhere not a $250 flight away and see the same caliber of speakers who present at Lordosphere presenting to a admittedly somewhat smaller group, but I think that even adds to the atmosphere, to be quite honest.
It's not just smaller. A lot of times they're more rabid. They really want to dig deep into the technology. They want to know tons about it. They're open to learning new things once you show it to them. And I think that's the biggest stepping stone that Lotus has to face, or IBM has to face, is getting them to see the technology and how it will interact with their current environment, as well as what it'll bring to the table that's useful, is always a hard thing. Meaning you can't capture them to do it, because they need to know about their environment today. They need to know what I'm doing today. And we talk about that in, what was it? One of the sessions. I actually had an IBMer in my session at Lotusphere, and he kept saying, you know, oh, I'm fixing that. Oh, we're doing this. Oh, we're fixing that. And I had to stop him in my session and say, then you need to do a future session, because this is about what you do today. And you're talking stuff that's almost a year off that these people won't implement for 2 years. This is a best practices session, which is what lugs become a lot of times, is best practices. You know, how do you run your environment, tweak it, secure it, lock it down, or whatever, do X pages development, stuff like that. And I think that's where a lot of the growth is too, is that people need that current information, not just futures all the time.
I think it comes back to what Twill is all about as well, is that, you know, we do try to be honest. Yes, we want to portray a positive view of what IBM's doing around this space, you know, but we want to be honest about it. And the reality is that actually some of this stuff is difficult, it is complex, it is troublesome sometimes. It may not necessarily match up to the competitors, you know, in certain areas. And I think we need to be straight about that, because, you know, whether it's at lugs or one-to-one meetings between IBM and customers, those things will get discussed. And I think actually if we just ignore that and just portrayed a 100% positive, you know, golden kind of view of the products, then I don't think that's fair to anybody. And I think that's where lugs are really strong, in terms of actually saying we love these products, but actually there are some downsides. These are the things you may need to sort of work around in your environment. And I think they're phenomenal for that point of view.
No, most definitely. So, well, you know, we should mention it, because we had on the list for you anyway, is that you have another social connections coming up, which then leaves the normal lug mantra of just focus, notes, domino, and you focus on the connection side more than anything, right?
We do. And we definitely saw, you know, a need for that, because, you know, the lugs, again, are really strong, and they've got some element of same time and connections content, but they tend to be quite notes and domino centric, at least right now. And so we thought there was a need for having a connections focused user group. And so, you know, we've started relatively small, but we're growing pretty quickly. We've been bigger every event we've done so far. And the third one's coming up on June 22nd in Dublin. So we've got a really good set of speakers. The agenda's out now, so go have a look at socialconnections.info. And we've also got a really good social calendar around that. So we're going to go over to the Guinness headquarters, the home of Guinness in Dublin, and have an evening there as well. So it's going to be a really good event. Really looking forward to it.
Right. Everyone just heard was Guinness.
Was Guinness. Millions of people have just signed up.
I don't think anyone heard anything else you just said once you said Guinness. It all just went away. It evaporated very quickly. So are you thinking about changing content for expanding it more for this week in Lotus? Or are you thinking about something additional? What are you guys thinking about doing? Oh, there's the quiet. That's what I was looking for. Total silence from both of you.
Go on, Darren. What do you think?
I honestly don't know. I think one of the problems we have is, because of the frequency, I don't think we get a lot of time to think about what we want to do with it. It just kind of suddenly Wednesday is here and Thursday is a day we record. And I think that's kind of been my life for probably the last, you know, year and a bit, is basically work, 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 bang, bang, bang on pretty big projects. So I don't think we give enough time to ourselves to think where we want to take it, or even, you know, do we want to keep the frequency same? At what point would we call it a day? You know, we've never had that conversations about that. And you know, that usually tells me it's going to be probably more of the same, unless we have some inclination otherwise.
I think we want to stay current, don't we? Yeah, we'll follow whatever happens with the products and whatever areas they go into. So, you know, we're doing some stuff around social business now that we weren't doing 2 years ago. We'll be doing less about, you know, quicker, say, perhaps than maybe we did when we started. I think it's just kind of seeing where things lead and kind of following on from that. I think the format, generally speaking, works pretty well. I hope people agree with that. I think where we fall down sometimes is actually when we follow what certain contributors want us to follow too much, which is to kind of do the almost a one-to-one type interview. I don't think necessarily works in our format as well. So I think actually it's great when we have a mix of different people and kind of allow the conversation to flow and just see where the conversation takes us. I think they tend to be the best episodes.
Yeah, true. And then so what do you guys think you're going to do for the next few? You're going to keep it the same then? Is what you're saying? For now, we're going to see the same, you know, a good growth, and you guys are going to talk about all the recent technologies, but later, what about adding some more different stuff? You guys ever thought about that? You know, delving more into some of the IBM portfolio?
No.
There you go. All right. That's perfect. I mean, that is a good, it's hard. It's hard to expand that far and then also keep a good listener.
It's a massive portfolio at the end of the day. You know, all of us are partners that work with this stuff. And actually, each of the individual products has got more complex and bigger over the last 10 years. You know, Domino has loads of stuff in it today that wasn't there 10 years ago. And then you add on, you know, connections with all different pieces that make that up, and Same Time Advance and Gateway and all that stuff. These are big products with lots inside them. I think even if we were to go on the way we're going today, focused on what was the Lotus portfolio, I think there's plenty enough to be talking about every week for the next 10 years. I think you know, if you try and roll in some Tivoli and some DB2 and some, you know, analytics, God help us, then, you know, I think you're just getting into more complexity that doesn't necessarily add value to the people that listen. However, we're open to people's point of view. So if you have particular feedback on that, let us know, and we'll try and follow what people want to hear.
And Darren,
it would enable us to follow the IBMers as they change brands so quickly.
Well, true. You could have the same people on still.
Yeah.
As they flip-flop positions and jobs and everything else along the way. So let's hit some current stuff real quick, because I know, where are we now? We're doing good. So we got a few more minutes. Ed made a big post, and something I wanted to make sure we mentioned is on the Social Edition, or what I like to call, it's like Windows 98 SE, right? It's now. Well, there was a Windows 98 SE, wasn't there?
There was second edition, yeah.
Right. So now there's IBM Lotus, what is it called? Notes Social Edition. So it's Notes SE.
Notes Common Notes Edition, NDSE, right?
Yeah, whatever it is. It's a long name, so we know that. But he put out a post. He put a screenshot up of the Social Edition. What do you guys think? So everyone should go. It's, the post is there. You can link it in your show notes. It was done a week ago.
So I've been running it, so I've got to be careful about what I say. Right. I haven't been running the notes piece of it. I've been running the iNotes piece of it. And what you will take away, and I think the screenshot was of the notes piece, but it looks identical, honestly. It's a bit of a design change.
A bit. So everyone should know it's white.
Yeah, it's white and black.
Whitewashed, yeah. And I think Carl Tyler, when he saw the first screenshot a couple of weeks ago, said, Ed, I think your screen catcher software is broken.
Right.
You only had it on 2-bit or something like that, is what he said. So it is different. It reminds me a lot of Gmail, where there's not much there to confuse the user.
Sure.
Which is kind of ironic, because I always get confused using Gmail. I can never find the reply button. But I actually like it. It's fast, it's snappy, at least on the iNote side. From the screenshot side, it's one UI. It's what they've been showing at Lotosphere for 4 or 5 years. It's a bit of a shame it takes 4 or 5 years to get there, but it's one UI. It's the new one that's going to be in Connections, not 4, allegedly. Going to be in Quicker, not 9, allegedly. So we'll see. It's probably the fruition of everything that comes together.
This is allegedly a podcast at this point.
Allegedly. But I think it's a step in the right direction. It masks where you go to different products. What I'm really intrigued about is this whole activity stream, because I still think it's going to blow people's heads off. I think
we only have 15 minutes, man. You don't get me started on activity streams. Don't. You're going to open a hole. We're going to be here for another hour at this point.
I think that's a really interesting point, though, guys. In the two of the most social people that I know and are delighted to know in the community are you and Alan Lepofsky, and you both really get social technologies, and yet both of you are so reserved about the possibilities of active streams. And yes. I find that really interesting.
Well, because I'll give you the 1.5-minute answer then. An activity stream of data inside a social context is much different than inside an enterprise context in terms of what I'm expected to do with the data that I'm seeing. I'm expected to act on almost every piece of data that I see in my company's stream, be it email, be it an activity, a calendar item on the right side, whatever it is. A stream in the social context is constantly flowing. I can jump in, I can jump out. I don't care about what I miss. I may see something good. I might have something built to, you know, look for certain keywords or whatever. But oversubscription then becomes a problem for me. And every social person begins to oversubscribe. And what do? Is you go bankrupt and you start again. You can't do that in the business world. So putting an activity stream in front of a user, here's a prime example. When they launch same time, and I've done this at sessions over and over again, I ask them, how many of you have people in your environment that have added the same time, like company all group to their same time list? Half the room raise their hand. I say, once you don't know half those people on the list. And secondly, half of them don't even like you. You know, you have them on your list.
Just half.
But the idea is that you've oversubscribed, right? You don't need a presence and awareness constantly flicking by of who's on, who's off, who's going to, you know, you don't need all that. So in the corporate environment, I think that activity streams will cause oversubscription and also cause you to miss data. So there you go. There's the simple.
And it's the missing, I think, that's going to be the crux, because as soon as you miss something important, you are going to go back to the old way, and the old way worked, which was email, unfortunately.
Email.
It works.
I don't. I agree with moving files out. I agree with that. You know, moving them into a shared, all that stuff. But email is actually, if you read, I did a post on, I think, from the IDC stuff that IBM worked with and sponsored. Is they say email is the core of all of it. It's not going anywhere.
No, and I don't think it will go anywhere. I think we do need to cut down on it, and particularly the issue I have is with so many notifications from social systems going into email. I think that's a gross misuse of email, and that's almost worse than kind of the email we had to deal with before. So for my side, I'm much more positive about activity streams. I haven't seen them yet in the notes client, so I don't know how they're going to work there. But I think certainly some combination of all of those things going forward has to be better than what we have today, which is all these kind of disparate, different collaboration systems that you kind of have to go and check here and check there and work out what the most urgent things are. I think having it all in one place has to be a good thing. I mean, the other side to the notes and Domino discussion was a previous post that Ed raised, which was about, you know, the things they should be considering for their kind of management meetings about looking forward beyond social addition to the future. And there were some really good threads that came out of that discussion. But one of them I think was most important is a lot of people want the notes client simplified and made more lightweight. And whether they do that in social edition or in future versions beyond that, I think that's definitely one of the real considerations is that whether it's using iNotes instead of the notes client or whether it's a notes client, but just in a slightly different form, I think we need something that's lighter and faster perhaps in the future.
I want to see this one button on here, Darren, as you can tell about it, but there's a button on Ed's screenshot called Workspace that I'd love to see what it looks like that. I just want to know.
I install new notes clients all the time, and the first thing I do is set homepage as Workspace. Bye-bye.
Definitely. And that's what I do. I never use the bookmarks. I don't like them. I like the Workspace. That's just me. But, you know, call us old. There's some people who love bookmarks. But I'm looking at the picture. So we can talk about Ed's picture because it's there. It's public. And yes, it's more white, a little bit cleaner. They're doing the gray, white, and black. So there's degrees of shading that go on, you know, inside of it. There's no coloring on the inbox highlighted. There is in the calendar, but remember that, you know, people highlight their messages. I'd be curious to see if that's still there, meaning you don't have people with like 16 colors for different senders and all that stuff.
I think based on Jason DeMont's talk on the show, it is, because it's coming to iNotes, which is one of my requests.
Okay, so they're going to move that up.
I think they're going to need to tidy it up. I mean, the big solid color bar that goes like all the way across the screen, you know, I'm not sure it's going to work in that new UI, but you can imagine, you know, maybe the subject of the message being color coded or whatever, just being a little bit more subtle about the color coding, I think probably would work in that new UI.
Yeah. And what do you think about the overall plan of it being an add-on? This is a big thing in the thread. So there's like almost 50 discussion entries below his post. But what do you guys think about the idea of it being a separate package install versus a switch?
Well, it's a separate package install over the top of 8.5.4. So
right.
Social Edition and 8.5.4 are going to release the same day. And Social Edition is an optional overlay on top of it. And I'm not quite sure how you're going to turn it on. But right now, not only do you have to install it, but you've got to turn it on as well. So, you know, I think there was some conversation in his thread about, are they going to make it a single installer or are they going to make it two installers?
Right.
What I don't know yet is how big the installer over 854 is, because it smells to me like they're almost going back to the old days of the quarterly maintenance releases, where it was, you know, not a 500, 600 meg behemoth, but more, you know, 20, 30 meg, which I think is in the realm of normal these days.
So, SE 2.1, you'd have Social Edition 2.1 and stuff like that?
Well, I'm not sure if it would be that. It might be, you know, it'll be not Social Edition, Fix Pack 1, Interim Fix 2, CCH4. But, see how I did that? That was kind of
right.
See, I have a real problem with the plugin idea. There's been many discussions in another beta program that I'm involved with, which I can't talk about here, but about the idea of shipping a big lot of code that, you know, that you download from Passport Vantage, you install, and then having a significant amount of code you download from somewhere else as a customer and install over the top. And I think that's the wrong way to go, particularly if you get that code from the catalog. Now, I'm not sure if that's what they're saying you're going to do with Social Edition, whether it will still come by Passport Vantage.
No, it's coming from PPA.
Okay, so that's not so bad. But for me, the idea of customers installing this you know, package that they bought down from IBM that they know is supported and know is kosher, you know, is a good package. And then you then going to another IBM site to download something different, which you then update separately and you know, comes in a different form and is a zip file and all, you know, all that kind of stuff, and install over the top and maybe have to distribute to thousands of machines separately. For me, I have a real problem with. So my wish is that they just ship one package with everything installed, and then, you know, maybe you just have a series of different flags which say which elements you install. An example of it would be the connection stuff that's in the Notes client today. You know, why is it that activities ships as part of the tool, whereas you want files plugins, you have to go and get that from the catalog? I think those kind of differences just cause confusion. It'd be good for me if it was just all shipped in one place.
And this is not, from what I can tell, from what he's talked about, this is not speaking from even knowing, because I've never seen it in person either, is this is not a plugin, meaning you're not going to deploy this from an update site. This is an actual install. This is an executable type, you know, install. So yes, you don't have that ability to on the fly deploy updates and changes to this. You will actually be pushing them out via some sort of packages or smart upgrades again, which is a huge thing.
But it depends. But it depends, right? So the problem today is if I want to move from 8.5.2 to 8.5.3, there is not a differential installer. It is a full install, and that's me shipping 600 mega client over smart upgrade. And smart upgrade then becomes not quite useless, but almost. Because the concurrency number of tests you can do is seriously limited. Whereas if I'm at 8.5.4 and 8.5.4 is my new baseline and I wish to install this, I don't know yet if it can be done by smart upgrade later on, but let's say it could, my guess is the differential is a whole lot smaller at that point. And my hope is that that's where they're heading for, is to head off that every time I touch a client, I've got to install 600 meg. That is kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And like Stuart said, people were clamoring for a lightweight client, but you know, how do you lighten a boat? You cut the anchor off. There's not a lot you can do. It is what it is.
Well, don't you just throw ballast over too? Can't you just throw somebody?
People.
Can't you dump somebody? Right, people. As I'm saying, you have to cut the anchor or just throw the people over.
Well, if you look at Cringely, they're doing that already.
Nice.
Controversial.
Nice. Well, everyone should read the post. It's got 46 comments as of when I clicked last. Ed has a screenshot up of the Social Edition build, so Notes SE. And I'd be curious to see exactly what more of the people think, about would they deploy it, first of all? Would that be too much of a UI change for their existing users? Does it add functionality to them as well that they need right away? Meaning, you know, you get features in the mail, right? From, I think Ed even posted about like recall today or something, which we went off on, but Would you deploy this to your users right away, and would they get benefit from it is the big question. So I think it'll be some time before we see this in most larger companies.
I would agree.
And I have to say, I love the new look and feel. I know some people are concerned about the kind of black and white nature of it, but you know, having seen Connections 4 at Lotusphere, I really like the new UI there. And I think the idea of bringing all this stuff together so you've got a common look and feel that's a little bit more modern, a little bit more kind of social, you know, Google-like, I think.
You're saying common look and feel, and this is the big fear a lot of them have, is that they have not done One UI implementations into their applications.
Right.
And so there is no common look and feel, because the plugins that sit in the side, they're going to use activities and stuff from the side, and they're going to use the pop-ups for profiles, but those don't change the client. You got to look at, you know, the big picture of that. They don't change the client. They're not going to be jumping from their Notes client necessarily into full connections. They may be using profiles or the activities in the sidebar or files, right? What happens to their apps? Most of these companies have not done whole UI changes to their apps. They do function updates, right? Feature, function, workflow, process, approval, whatever. But a UI update, this is huge. That's a lot of investment of developer time.
Chris and Darren, you probably know better than I do, but if you had to put a finger in the air, what percentage of companies that use Notes have their own apps that they have to manage and upgrade? Because certainly I'm seeing, when I go into customers to talk about connections, an awful lot of them only ever use messaging. Or maybe a very small team in their company has a custom app, some kind of CRM system they use. But the vast majority of users are just productivity tool users. You know, it's just mail, calendar, to-dos and so on. And so all that will be brought up to the new look and feel. So do you think it's going to be a major issue that customers have old style apps that they have to upgrade?
I don't think so, mainly because, like you said, Stuart, there may be a department or a division inside of a company that has an application which may have led to the adoption of Notes company-wide because they had it long before anyone else did. And that's generally how I see it, is not everyone in the company, not 100% of the people will use apps. Maybe somewhere south of 25% of the people will, but 100% of the people that are using it for mail. Now, mobile is kind of changing them conversations. Mobile is starting to come a bit to the front, which it's been promising to do for 10 years, but it's actually jumped to the front of the queue pretty much in the last year. And then people are starting to ask, well, if we can simplify, if we can do Traveler on the Android, or I can see my Lotus Notes mail on my iPhone, why can't I also get my applications, and vice versa, Stuart, which you led to earlier, which was, why can't I also have such a simple interface on my desktop? And I think mobile is the game changer here. Maybe not to give them access beyond, but to ask, why can't it be as simple as this?
And see, we're the opposite. I think only 10% of our customers, and people at the beginning had no clue and whatever, but so, between our management, our hosting, I think only 10% only use mail. We have everyone else uses applications. We're the opposite, because maybe that's why we get so much of the business, is we're managing, the application servers as well. But there's very few customers that only use it for email for us. So they all use apps. And the idea of them going back and retooling the UI on an app is just like, no way. It's not. Most of them are like, no, it's not going to happen. Even Xpages, they're like, yeah, this would be great on the web. Yeah, no, we're not. We just don't have the time right now to, go back and retool all the UI for everybody, even though we think it would look cool. It'd be great on our iPads that they're getting. It's just not there. I wish there was an easy way for us just to click and it was there. It just doesn't happen, even in any of the vendor partner products. It just doesn't happen.
But then the counter argument is to say, well, to maintain consistency, we've got to keep Notes looking like it did in 6.5 days.
Yep.
And I don't think that's an answer for us either. So you got, as you say, if there was a button that said, One UI application, click here, and it just did everything for you. Maybe that's what Transformer does. Who knows? Then that would be the answer. But I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where it's as easy as that to do. So
Transformer does more of the web interface is what it does. But you brought up a good point. Could there be a one click that said, recolorize the left navigator to be the darker grays and whites, recolorize the action bar and maybe straighten it, that type of thing would make it a little more consistent, right?
Yeah.
And then what about, and this is another thing, and this may not drive you guys nuts, but I'm looking at it now, is I see the workspace tab in Ed's picture, and I just thought about this. I actually colorize certain tabs on my workspace for customers or whatever.
Yeah.
So does that go away? Is every tab now this gray and blue and...
You can have any color tab you want as long as it's black.
Right. That's exactly that. Or what is it? Gray. It's gray, right? With a black left text. Sorry. It just hit me. It's a silly question, I know, but I actually use color tabs in my workspace. So.
Well, and what I want to take a step back, and I want to say that all of this is optional. You don't have to go to 8.5.4. You don't have to go to Source Edition. You don't have to migrate from Basic to Standard anymore. Because back in the day, IBM were going to kill Basic, but they're not now. So, you know, I think they're giving the customers a lot of options, and I want to, that's a hat tip to them. But what I don't want to have happen is them have to now support three different platforms and nothing get done because all they're doing is trying to fix one, two, three all the time.
Well, that's true. And think about it. They couldn't kill Basic because Basic is basically standard with a picture frame around it. That's what it is. Standard client is Basic with a bunch of Eclipse wrapped around the outside edges. That's it. That's all it is. So they couldn't kill Basic. They could, now you say they could stop deploying it as a standalone, but it's never going to be killed. So there's too much history there too. What else we have left on the list, guys? I know that I know we're getting in our hour. Do we have more left? Did I miss something?
No, I think that's pretty much the list.
Holy cow. I don't know
I do want to quickly bring something up.
Uh-oh.
And this is from the Twitter's lists.
Okay.
I guess it was Exceptional Web Experience conference was going on last week. Is that kind of what it was? I'm not sure which conference it was. But you know, people are saying, you know, if you're not a social CIO, it's going to affect your company. That is utter hogwash. A CEO tweeting or not tweeting has no bearing whether I buy your product or not. It depends what your ratings are online. CEO tweeting and saying, hey, Darren, thanks for buying your product, does not bear on my life at all.
See, I read that differently. I think it's an attitude thing, right? And I don't think every CEO has to tweet. I don't think every CEO has to be active necessarily on an internal system somewhere. But I do think there's a real attitude difference between somebody who is solely focused on, you know, numbers and personnel and looking inwards and process versus somebody who's very willing to look outside and look at partnerships and listen to employees and stuff. And I'm not sure you can necessarily just have one label that you apply to somebody, whether they're social or they're not. But I do think there's a certain attitude shown by companies that are adopting social that shows that they are looking outside their traditional ways of doing business. And I think actually, if we, you know, whenever you look back and look forward at, you know, what was the Fortune 500 like 20 years ago? How many of them are still there today, et cetera? Actually, it's the companies that adapt and change that stay current and stay with us. And social is a way of them adapting and changing to be current. And I'm not sure necessarily that means they need to be on Twitter, but it does mean they need to be looking at social media in some way.
I think that a lot of them they're going by what they're being told they need to do. A lot of them have no clue, you know, what it is. Being on Twitter, most of them don't even do it, right? Those CIOs, they've got somebody tweeting for them. A lot of the bigger companies, there's a few that do their own. But think about it. They've got people that you also have to monitor then, manage what they say, make sure it's secured. You don't want to get, you know, a few hundred thousand followers of a major CIO of a company, and then someone hacks in and then, of course, you know, puts a whole bunch of info out there, things like that. But Darren, you brought up the Exceptional Web Experience Conference, right?
Yeah.
I made a post about it because I was very confused by this. They held all their web stuff, instead of using the Exceptional Web Experience software, they put it in Facebook. I made a post on this on May 8th. And I brought it up and I had an IBMer respond and like, well, we're trying to reach a different audience. I'm thinking that's not where the people are, right? Is mainly one, I want to see your showcased software, but they used Facebook for it to have live chats as well as put a bunch of information. Did you guys catch that, or was it just me that cared?
I
mean,
I caught it and joined in one of the conversations or a couple of the conversations that were taking place, mainly because I was asked to be involved. It's a tough one, isn't it? They're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't. You know, if they have some kind of social island they create and then it goes away, you know, Chris, both you and I have had real issues with that, with the Loadsphere Online stuff. So actually, the showcase thing that only lasts for a month and then disappears actually isn't great either. Doing it solely in a consumer-focused social environment, I'm not sure is ideal either. You know, so where do they go? Which do they choose? I think it's a tough one, and I don't think they necessarily got it right this time, but at least they're trying.
They embed their activity stream from Facebook. They put in their activity stream, put it all together as one big happy family. But I was just curious. I saw that, and I know that they used it. I was confused when I saw it because I was like, where's the IBM software involved in this that they're pushing forward, right? Because a group page on Facebook is not an exceptional web experience. It's not. It's not, they're horrible. They don't do any. There is no flow. Okay, I'll just leave it alone now. It's painful at best.
I like having you on, Chris, because suddenly Darren and I aren't the controversial ones anymore.
I've already blogged it. It's not like I'm making stuff up as we go. Yeah, I've already said it. So we're going to do tips now. Is it time, Darren? I think you're first.
I am, and I actually have a useful one, I do believe. Now, normally I don't like Plantronics kit. I've never really had a good experience with their Bluetooth stuff.
What?
Okay. with my cell phone. Everyone I've had has just seemed to have an issue. Nice. But for desk headsets, I'm very, very impressed. And I've just got I'm getting the model number right, a Plantronics CO54, which is one of a new breed of desktop headsets. And I'm actually very impressed with it. It's one of the nicest ones I've used. So,
is it one of the dual ones that works only with your PC and your phone line?
I don't know. I haven't got that far. It's hooked to my desk phone, which is a VoIP phone, so maybe.
Okay. So, the Plantronics headsets rock. I use them at my desk at work too, and it switches between VoIP and your desk phone, and it has DEX-6 encryption. You can walk like 600 feet or something with them. I can go through the data center space, well, through the first data center space. After that, I lose it for all the metal, but it's really impressive.
Yeah, the amount of travel you get on them is quite phenomenal.
Would you walk away from your desk now? You sound like you're
broken. Well, no, I'm on a different headset.
Oh, see? All of a sudden it fell apart. So which model do you have?
CO54.
So excellent. Is that it? That was your whole tip?
Dad. Hey, it was set. Well, you know what? I found the best Cat5 patch cable ever. No, that's...
We're all going to get revolved out of Cat5 patch. All right. Well, let's leave that one on. Stuart, you're up. We're leaving him alone.
I mentioned this on Twitter a few weeks ago, but I've got the kind of Jabra version of that Plantronics headset, and it's completely changed my life. It's fantastic. It's worth investing in a good headset that switches between your different phones. My tip is, first of all, don't be on the other side of the podcast chair, because it's really difficult compared to hosting. So thank you, Chris, for stepping in this week. My tip is just make sure you get along to Social Connections if you possibly can. If you can't make it to Ireland on June 22nd, look out for the videos, because we will be recording and posting all the videos that day. So make sure you do catch up with the content there. It should be worth watching. The other thing I wanted to mention is connections101.net, which you mentioned a couple of times on the podcast, but actually Gab and Paul are really pushing ahead with that. They're up to module 6 now. So if you haven't looked at Connections 101, do. It's a really good set of posts in terms of what you need to know to install Connections.
And Gab doesn't do half-ass posts.
No.
She goes all in. If there's
neither of them do.
Well, no, I know Paul doesn't either. I'm saying Gab goes all in when she, it's going to be edited 45 times. Then Paul's going to edit it. If I remember correctly, they're reviewing each other's posts as well. So before my tip, easy enough, we want to congratulate you two on 100 episodes of pain and torture for yourselves, not for us, but for yourselves, of producing, executing, getting guests scheduled, staying on. You've done technically, what, 4 live shows or maybe 5?
It's probably 5 now, I would guess,
quote, live shows. You've done it at Lotusphere a couple times. You did them at some of the user groups. UK Lug.
MW Lug. UK Lug as well,
Yeah, so you guys have a bunch of live ones that you've gone through as well. You've substituted for each other when necessary for small vacations and breaks, which you're finding out is tough to take those breaks and still try to do the weekly, which is why I never said I was going to do a weekly show.
You smart man.
I made that assumption up front and let everybody know I may not blog every day, nor may I actually podcast every day. So it's not going to happen anywhere around the world. Easy on my tip. And I actually talked about this last week, and now I'm even happier. Actually, I don't think I published it yet is what it is, but portable chargers. If you don't have a portable charger, a small one of any kind, go invest in one. It's been saving my butt many times now, from last week when I was, or 2 weeks ago when I was down in DC to, when I'm on the road hanging out, you're at the soccer fields, whatever. But I went through 5 or 6 different portable chargers, and the PowerGen, I think by far right now, is my favorite. It's a 5,000 milliamp, so it'll even charge an iPad. Oh, but it's not big.
It'll even charge a cell phone tower, won't it?
Yeah, actually it will. You can share it with friends. No, it's an awesome one. It's my favorite one. The next one down, I've got two 2,000 or 2,200 milliamp ones that are smaller ones from Verbatim and then ones from Fat Cat Power. But if you don't have one of these, invest in one. Keep it in your car. Keep it in your glove box. I throw it in there all the time. Throw it in my soccer bag. I'm telling you, it saved my butt numerous times, mainly in today's connected world, because once everything's mobile and X Pages, you'll need your device to work. How's that for a summary to bring it together? Awesome. Does that bring it together for you? So where does everybody find you, Darren?
Blog.downduke.net for my monthly now posts on related technology, and Darren Duke, all one word, for my 140 character rants against something that's irked me lately.
I like this. He went from a weekly podcast to 12 annual blog post. That's all he does now. Just 12. That's all we do. Nice. Is it on a special day of the month? Is like the first of the month? Is there somewhere we should look for this?
No, I looked the other day and it was like I was doing one a month and I'm like, okay, I'm doing the monthly now. I guess that's my new frequency. So I went with the flow.
Go for it. Not a problem. Stuart, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre, on the blog at blog.collaborationmatters.com.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all there is now?
Nice and easy. There's a few more I won't mention. In fact, a new site coming out probably beginning of next week. So I'll talk about
it. It all comes out now. All of a sudden, there's a new site coming next week. I understand how this works. Mine is easy for everybody.
Facebook.com/collaborativemashers.
No, never.
Everything will now be on his Facebook group page. it'll be in an activity stream. It'll be perfect for everybody. Mine is easy. It's I Do Notes absolutely everywhere. If you don't find me on a network as I Do Notes, I'm already there. Just look harder because that means you didn't look hard enough. What else am I doing? I don't know what else. We do the BlackBerry show. We do the reviews. That's it. You can find it. I'm easy. There we go. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure hosting episode 100 for you two. I'm glad that you two had to sit on the other side of the table for once and suffer through the drudgery of being questioned to death.
You actually have to listen when you're on this side of the table. It's quite disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. I could tell a few times Dare was caught off guard. I think he's like, can you repeat that question for us, please? No, that's episode 100. They will be doing episode 101 in a matter of days because they will be weekly. They just said they will continue on their jaunt to do it. And if you need guys anything else, find it in the show notes. Otherwise, that is another This Week in Lotus.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
You guys have to sit in the interviewee chair for a few minutes. It's not a big deal.
I was even wearing my LDC t-shirt yesterday, the one where the podcasters are interviewing the podcasters. So this one actually kind of fits right into my t-shirt wearing as well.
Perfect. Now it's pajama wearing, but it's okay.
Too much information.
And for the record, I am wearing clothes. I want everyone to know that.
If you want to let them know, you can. They'd all be happy to know that Darren wears pants.
Okay, well, I'm recording here.
All right. Tell me when too. You are. I think everyone is. I think.
Yeah. So between us, we ought to have one decent recording of these supplies together. So, Chris, over to you.
Over to me. Wait, isn't there some special music? No, okay, it just comes in later.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, right. Chris. That was great.
Chris, thank you so much, mate.
He's already hung up, buddy.
He really has gone.